Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 237. It is the week of February 19th, 2017. I'd like to thank you for coming along. Thank you for downloading the show. And as always, thank you to all the returning listeners that come back show after show and support the podcast by downloading it and listening to it. Definitely appreciate you doing that. And I'd like to welcome any new listeners that have come along. This show is going to be about the Dahlgren Heritage Trail Half Marathon that I ran with my running buddies Ashland Tom and Ashland Brian on Saturday, February 18th. We had a great time going up and doing the half marathon just about an hour north of where we live. And there was a guy there that did a whole lot of weird screaming that you'll hear later in the podcast, and I'll break it down a little bit more after I go through some of these audio clips. Got some pretty cool audio clips from the day, which always make for an interesting podcast whenever you get some real-time stuff out of the race. So it kind of starts with me getting in the car and picking up my buddies and heading north to an hour or so for the half marathon. So let's see what we got. All right, it's about 6:15 on February 18th. And I am headed to go pick up Ashland and Brian for the Dahlgren Half Marathon. Dahlgren Heritage Trail Half Marathon up in King George, Virginia. And I figured I'd offer to drive since Tom has usually offered so much and so has Brian. I figured it would be my turn to do a little driving. And feeling pretty good. Get my mileage to a point where I'm ready for this race. But it's a fun run for us. The three of us will probably end up running together. We're just having some fun with the whole thing. Because we're excited to go to
a... In a half mile, turn right onto England Street.
Okay. Sorry about that.
You are on the fastest route. You will arrive at 7:05 a.m.
That's going to stop. We're going to turn that down because that's not going to happen. Yeah, we're just doing this as a fun run. I kind of talked Brian into it, and then Tom signed up late, Ashland Tom. So
head
this
east.
Is going to be a lot of fun, and this, I'm going to have to turn off that GPS. I really only need it when I get up closer to Fredericksburg, which is about a 45-minute drive from here. Race starts at 8. I like to get up there early because I got my friend Neil that works the race up there. Want to say hello to him.
Turn right.
And if we get there early, then that also means we can park closer to the start, and to me that's worth it because the satellite parking is about a half mile away and we want to get our shirts and take everything back to the car. So I'm going to be picking up Brian here, and hopefully he doesn't mind if I do a little recording on the podcast. Looks like he's ready. I see him around inside the house. There he is. What's up, man? Doing a little podcasting, so I'm catching you raw if you don't mind. Oh, going the wrong direction. How you doing this morning? Get the introductions out of the way. Looks like you sniffles.
A little sniffly, a little tired.
You just got in last night from out of town all week, didn't you?
Yeah. That's when I realized I had no goose.
Oh, that's all right. I got you covered.
Sweet.
Got your text. So we're gonna go get Tom and then make our way up. Can't see this thing.
Kind of slowed down.
Well, I'll support that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to let me know if they need any help.
Oh. Hey, man. Hey. Morning. We're getting some audio clips for the show. Catching everybody off guard. I can always edit it out if you use profanity. Right. You ready to head on up so we can get a good parking spot? And then we'll just sit and wait.
Sounds good.
All right.
Yeah, just finished this.
All right, so how much mileage have you done, Tom? Do you think you're ready to do a half distance? I can't remember what you've been doing in training.
I ran 20 in January at the Swinging Bridge. But that's what
all at one time or over the course of the month?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, that's all you've done?
Yeah.
Didn't you run with us last weekend?
Yeah, 8 miles.
Eight miles?
That's my longest in February.
Brian's ready. You've done, didn't you do 10 or 12? You've done several 10s.
Several 10s. I think I'll make it. Looks like it's going to be a good day, weather-wise.
I can't remember if I did 12 or 14 last week. Look at it.
You did 12.
12.
You were tapering. You did 14 the week before.
Plus the push-ups.
Yeah, and push-ups.
Yeah, I had one of the best swinging bridge races I've ever had. Because I, you know, I did the
35.
Yeah, 35K. I scheduled my walk breaks, you know, didn't try to run the whole thing. I ended up catching a lot of people at the end. Like the guy I went with, he went out ahead of me like at mile one.
Is that Ralph?
Guy Chris.
Across the street?
Yeah.
Did he cook a lunch?
No, he didn't do that this year. He does that for Bear Creek.
Okay. Was it muddy?
It wasn't as bad as the year we did it.
Was it last year?
That was...
Well, that was the year we needed to get home to watch the football game.
So yeah, the Redskins were in the playoffs. How many years? I guess that was last year.
Yeah, it was. January 16, 2016.
Yeah, it wasn't as muddy as it was that time.
I will never go there again. I mean, I just... Although, when I ran Mississippi Trail 50, shit, that was muddy. But I had to represent Virginia. They're counting on me. Especially when my cousin introduced me to all his friends. This is my cousin Dave. He runs ultras in Virginia.
Right here.
So it's kind of funny. We were finishing up the 35K, and we were about a mile. You know when you cross the road?
Yeah.
And you could see the gas station there.
Right, right.
So there's guys coming out of the woods there going the opposite way we are. So they're, you know, that's probably a mile and a half or so. And we said, are y'all running out to meet somebody? And they said, no, we're doing the 50K. And I'm like, were you going the wrong way? So they took, I mean, they had to be one of the lead runners, you know.
Interesting. Well, I did the Bear Creek out there one time, the 10 miler, but I did 12 miles. I came in the finish line, I've told you guys, I came in the finish line the wrong way, and I got lost in the woods, and so did Michael George. And he ended up trying to go back and find his way, and I just said, screw it. And I came out of the woods by that gas station and just went back into the park by the road, because I knew I could get back that way. I don't know how I made the wrong turn, and that was the last I did of Bear Creek. Still got the shirt, though.
Yeah, he didn't even post the times this year. You know, last year, I think he put something on the Richmond Road Runners.
Oh, for Swinging Bridge?
Yeah.
All right. All right, we got our race numbers, and they're doing this thing in waves today. I just saw Neil, and he's a listener of the podcast. He's wearing this interesting white, what I would call a bunny suit, with a little carrot. Was it a... No, he's a snowman. That's what he was. He had a carrot on. Huh?
He was Olaf.
Oh, Olaf. Olaf, okay. So they're doing it by waves, and it's all by age. And they're putting anybody that wants to compete for prize money goes in wave one. And then waves two, three, and four are men only. Wave five is women under 30. Wave six, women 30 to 39. And then wave seven, men 50 and over. I'm 47, Brian's 44, I think. 43, and Tom is like 50. Tom's over 50, so we're gonna run, we're gonna all start in Tom's wave with him. And there was another funny part in the race instructions, there was a little section about bugs and poison ivy. Race director said that if you're allergic to bug bites or bee stings, you need to bring your own EpiPen. King George Fire and Rescue tells me that you will be dead before EMS will reach you. I thought that was pretty funny. That's, so anyway, go ahead.
That's just if you get poison ivy.
Oh. Oh, bugs. So the trail brief is at 7:45, which we're missing right now because we're in the car. It's 30 degrees outside. Wave 7 starts at 8:12, so that's when we're going to be going up here in a few minutes and getting in line for the Port-a-Johns. Okay.
Okay, women under 30. Not that many.
About five of them show up.
Did we miss you?
No, I'm not 50 yet. I'm close, but I have to go with my friend who's over 50.
Have they called 40 to 49?
They did. They just went. Yeah, they just went. That's all right. You can run with the slow folk if you want.
I might as well. I'm 49. I'm close.
You're close.
I guess that hair profile really is effective. I never heard it.
Did they just call us?
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I had to hit the thing real quick.
Oh, no.
Okay, all
right. Any other man 50 and over?
We'll see.
Oh, you did here.
Wait, she's by herself somewhere. I didn't realize she's been out that long. How long did she think she was out?
8 months. Without doing anything.
I don't feel too bad this last
few weeks. No turning back now.
No.
Just want to keep going. Keep going.
The Spartan race, you had to jump over the wall. Like, just call her to get
to
in.
Just to get in?
Just to get in the corral.
Oh, so if you can't get over the wall.
I had to get a boost. Made some girl way
did
down.
Did be like, oh, no, maybe you shouldn't do anything.
Just to get into the
pen. Yeah. Yes.
All right, here goes enough. What did they say, see in the emergency room? All right. Oh, body heat. to the first beer of the day, is that what he said?
I'm going to have one at tournament.
All right, we're at about 3 3/4 miles. The leader, bib number 12, just passed us inbound. And he was rolling. And we're still outbound. So he's at 10 miles to go? I mean, 3 to go?
Yeah, almost 4.
Almost 4 to go? Oh, he's less than 4 to go.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So he'll be done about 10 after 9? Is that hour and 10 minute and a half marathon? No, he can't do 4 miles in 20 minutes. What am I can't do math. He can probably do it in 30 minutes. So he'll probably run about hour 24, 25. We'll have to look him up at the end.
He's gonna be passing, huh? I'll say hour 15.
Hour 15, all right. Oh, that's not good. Do you hear them? What's that on the bone?
Yeah.
We should be seeing Kelly here. All right, we're just over 6 miles. I kept thinking like 6.05 was the turnaround. I don't know what I was thinking about because this thing was like a half marathon. I mean, it was a 12-mile race. I don't know where I got that idea. So we're looking for Kelly now. She should be passing us soon. All right, I'm doing the podcast. All right, fast forward to 12.1 miles. It's warmed up significantly. What would you say, it's about 50? 45? 50?
A little headwind. Head breeze.
Well, we know when we get up to the railroad tracks, you know you're close, right?
A little cart.
A little deliverance. That'd be the deliverance kids on the cart. You said half mile?
Yeah.
All right, we're 2 hours, 16 minutes, so looks like it'll be around 2:22.
Yeah.
You got to be busted.
What's that?
About 2 hours, 22 minutes.
We have to run 6 miles.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we can do that.
And not enjoy our breakfast.
Yeah.
crazy cows.
Man, smell the manure. Oh, he's running again. We're not going to catch him. Damn. Trying to catch this guy ahead of us in green. I think it's green tights. It's not green socks.
Hey, you're right.
You picking it up? Oh, well, we can see the finish line.
Woo! I know, that's a little unnerving, isn't it?
Good morning, Shy. Hit him. Get going, boy! Oh, that's a good one for the podcast.
Did you get it?
I think I got some of it. Oh, got it. Now it's funny.
Yeah.
Good now. Oh, man. We're almost there. Oh, we got a minute to make 223. You think we'll get it? All right, let's yeah, I think we're good. I don't think he meant anything by it. I don't think he knows that he's around other people. He's working. Oh yeah, we might make 220. All right.
38.92.
All right. Oh, we get a medal. All right.
Get across the gap.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. I got
hey,
you.
Neil. All right. Thank you, sir. Woo. I got you too. That was funny as shit. I don't think he realized that he was around other people.
Oh, he's right behind us.
I know, but it was just, what a jerk.
All right, so that was a bunch of audio clips from the race, and they were kind of in order. I was hoping to capture this guy that was yelling a little bit more because he's kind of a dick, and that term is really only reserved for assholes, pretty much. So let me tell you how this kind of played out, and I'll get to some of my commentary about some of the race details here in a few minutes. But I want to talk about this guy that was yelling. There was an older guy. He had to be probably 60 plus, and I think I figured out what his name is, but I'm gonna leave it out of the show. He did a lot of yelling, and I've been out on enough trail races where there's always some people that get real excited, and they do this a lot of hooting and hollering on the trails. And this was a trail race, not a mountainous trail race. It was a rails to trails kind of thing, but it was a recreational trail. It was pretty cool. And this guy was always up ahead of us. He had a white beard, white hair, and was wearing green tights under shorts. And during the beginning, the outbound, it's an outbound 6.5 or whatever, and then an inbound 6.5 miles. And it's a former railroad, so it crosses a few roads, and they have the race has volunteers out there, marshals and stuff, just like any other race. But it's all in a rural area, so you're not crossing a highway. It's just you might see a car if you cross the road. And he was up ahead of us, kind of doing a run walk, but he was running at a pace where he was staying ahead of our group. I was running with Ashlyn Tom and Ashlyn Brian. And it seemed like his yelling, which you heard right there at the tail end of the audio clips, that was the consistency of his yelling. And it seemed like he was yelling whenever he crossed the road. And then part of me just figured that was his way of alerting people who's coming to the road. I don't know. Everybody does something a little bit different out on the trail. But when we were inbound, we caught up. He got way ahead of us when we were inbound. We caught up to him toward around the last mile. And I think there was an audio sound clip there about saying, hey, we got a half mile to go or something. We were going to try to catch him and pass him because he kept, the finish line is within sight and he was walking. So we decided we were going to pass him, and we did. And we got our group got just in front of him, like a foot in front of him. We did a courtesy pass on the left. It wasn't like, we got up in his face or anything. And then all of a sudden, he just went, like right in my ear, and then ran up ahead of us. And it was just really weird. And it wasn't like I mean, literally right in my ear, like maybe within a foot of, and it scared me. It's kind of startled me because I did not think I would hear that right next to my head. Well, Tom, he didn't like that. So he went up and toasted that guy at the finish line. And that's when you heard the yelling at the end, was when that guy was beyond the finish line. And then we came in. And I thought about going over and saying something to him and saying, you know, it's one thing, dude, to, you know, to yell when you're out on the route, but you don't yell right behind somebody and startle them. I said, it's, you know, you're a dick. And I came very close to doing that, but then I just decided to let it go. And I just didn't think it was worth it because, you know, you don't want to go out there and make any kind of enemies or anything. But then at one point, I think Ash and Brian went over to the, they had a bonfire. They got, it was cold enough in the morning where they actually had a pretty big bonfire, and it was really nice to stand around because I was in short sleeve. And I think the guy kind of half apologized to Brian. I'm not sure if he did or what. I don't know what his problem was, but we decided just to kind of let it go. It wasn't like we were going to go over and confront him or anything. It's just, it was, not only was it impolite, you know, it was discourteous. It just was pretty uncool. Also, you just don't do that on the trail. I don't know. I've never done anything like that. And I didn't think that maybe he was really aware of who was around him, because sometimes people get in this, and I've done it too, although I'm always aware of my surroundings, but some people get in these life bubbles, and where the only thing that's going on is their own life and they don't see around them. And I know people like that, where you've met them before, but then they act like they don't know you because they're in their own little life bubble, and they don't recognize anything but their own life. And I'm constantly, you know, aware of my surroundings. And anyway, it really bothered me, and I'm glad I got some of that on some of the audio clips of that guy yelling, because that was consistent throughout the morning when we could hear him, and it was just kind of weird. So we had a great time. Tom, Ashland Tom, you might have heard him predict that the winner, bib number 12, was going to run about 1:15. He actually finished in 1:14:45. So I get my hats off to Ashland Tom for his excellent math. Of course, he is a statistician. And then his name was, it's Ben something. Let me look that up real quick. I mean, that's fast. Let's see, men's open, Charlie Ban, I'm sorry, Charlie Ban out of Washington, D.C., and he's 34 years old, which is pretty amazing that he ran that fast. We ran a cool 2:23 and some change. Tom came in under that because he ran up for the yeller, but me and Brian came in at 2:23 and a couple seconds after that, we ran in together. Got our finishing medal and saw Neil there at the end. Still wearing his Olaf outfit. And Neil, you have to let me know at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you were not Olaf, because that is what we figured that you were. And I did not know that they made white furry suits for adults, but I guess there is a whole subculture of furries. But I don't think that's what you're doing with that. But I thought you were really funny. I told my buddies that were coming up that you've got an interesting sense of humor, and you definitely demonstrated that. So it was good to see you, man. I'm glad you were there. And let me talk a little about the parking, because I want to comment a little bit on that. We didn't get up there early enough to get it. We got a good parking spot, but we didn't get a good parking spot. The race starts and finishes at this trailhead of the Dahlgren Heritage Rail Trail. And right at the trailhead, there's probably maybe the trailhead, and then you have maybe 100 yards to the road, maybe not even that far. And it's probably wide enough for cars to park on either side, you know, pulling straight in or backing in. And then there's a box car, a train box car, then there's a train caboose. And the caboose is where you pick up your number and your shirt if you got one, filled out the waiver and stuff, which I think is really cool to climb up in a caboose and do that there. And those parking spots fill up pretty quick because they park the first group there. And back when we did the Ultra in August, we were able to park there because we got up there early enough. But we didn't get there early enough this time, but we were able to park not quite half a mile down the road along the roadway. And ideally, we'd be able to park close by. And I think I would actually probably pay an extra $5 to get a good parking spot there. And they could make some extra money for the Friends of the Trail. So that's just a suggestion. I was thinking of maybe letting the race director know that, but maybe he, you know, doesn't want to pay charge for parking. But just because I like to be that close by to the after race festivities, where I can go to my car and maybe change into my flip flops and then come back to the post race stuff, as opposed to walking all the way down the road and then coming back, which I guess really isn't that bad anyway. But you know, $5 is not that bad, and I'd be willing to pay for that. So maybe I will pass it on to the race director. Maybe not. I'm not sure. Just to kind of give you an idea of how big the race is. It's only about 180 runners, and I think they came up just a little bit short of that this year. And I remember Neil saying they did not sell out. But it's a great, let's see. I'm looking at the, I'm not sure how many people showed up today for the race. It doesn't really say in the results, like out of how many. But I do know that in my age group, I came in 15th out of 18, and I came in 118th out of 152. So I think there was 152 people showed up to run that. That's a pretty good size half marathon for a trail. You know, you can't hold but so many, and you don't want to have but so many people out there. Because you just, there's only so much area to park in, but I think it's a perfect size for me, and I'll be back for that. I think it's a great event, and I like the whole setup. They got soup at the end. They had some other food. They had coffee, and of course the bonfire, and you know, several porta johns out there. Just had a good time overall, and I'm glad we went up for that. Let's see. So yeah, I had to start with the 50 plus PEN because of Tom, because he's over 50. Brian and I are both under 50, and they separated everybody up by age group. Just, and then you gave a little index card. It was really interesting how they set it up. You gave a little index card when you started, so they would know that you were out there. And they keep really good track of everybody out on the course, because you go out so far and come back in the woods. I thought it was really good. Really enjoy the whole thing overall. Not too crazy about the shirts though. They're black shirts with pink writing, with the race logo. You know, I'm not really into the whole pink thing. Never have been. Never really will be. And you know, I probably would wear the shirt under something else, like under another running shirt. And I don't know. I'm not sure why pink was chosen. It's just. I like the black shirt, but I just don't like the pink writing. I'm just not a big, not big on pink. And maybe the best part of the whole day was running into Kelly from Team Incognito. She made her comeback run. She had been out for 8 months and then, of course, trained for this due to a knee injury. I'd actually seen one doctor who, and a well-respected doctor, sports medicine doctor in the Richmond metro area in Virginia, who told her that her running days were over. She got another opinion, and she was back, and she beat us. I mean, she started behind us because they actually had, she's over 40, and they actually had the over 40 women start in the last pen, which I thought was really strange. But she did a great job. Let's see, she ran a, she came in fourth in her age group out of 21, and she ran a cool 2:16:20, I think maybe more of a 2:16:201, man, that's pretty good. A lot better than me. And well, you know what? Maybe I ran better on my chip time as opposed to a gun time. Let's see. We're still 2:23:09. So she ran a 2:01 half, which is outstanding for a comeback run. So my hat's off to you, Kelly. It's really good to see you. Good to see a familiar face out there from Team Incognito. And I had no idea she was going to be out there. We actually have, with our virtual running group, we actually have a web page that we post at on Facebook. And I just didn't post that I was doing the half because I just didn't think anybody from my group had any interest in going up to it's just outside Fredericksburg, which is about an hour away, 45 minutes to an hour. So I didn't even post it on there. And she said, I didn't post it either because I didn't think anybody was going to be doing it. But she said she had remember me talking about that, how I had done races up there. So it's just funny that we ended up running into each other. So we got to visit a little bit. I hadn't seen her in quite a while. And she's one of the original founders of our Team Incognito group back from going back to 2006 when a group of us all met Several of us, I guess there's maybe 12, 13 all told. Some people were kind of in and out, but when we all did a half marathon training team together, and a lot of us kind of ran the same pace. Of course, that's changed over the last 11 years. And then we went on to all train together for a marathon during the same year, and it was the Richmond Marathon, so we all got to know each other real well. And here it is 11 years later, and we all still stay in touch, so it was pretty cool. So that was the Dahlgren Trail Half Marathon. A great time. Definitely do that again. That's Brian's second time doing it, Tom's first. Of course, Tom and I were just out on that trail in August doing the 50K, which was extremely brutal. Very hot. The conditions today were much during the race, not today, but the conditions during the race were much better. It was really cold at the start. It was only about 30 degrees, but it felt colder. And when I say that, it just felt like it was a real, real chill in the air. But it warmed up to we were guessing maybe 50 towards the end, and then we capped off the morning with a nice breakfast at a diner called Horns, which was on the way home. They got a really cool gift shop there, one-of-a-kind knife collection, a whole barrel of 40-weight coffee. I mean, it was a really cool place to go, and that was probably what we were all looking forward to after the race, was going and getting a big breakfast before we headed home. And then I had the agony of having to sit in a lawn chair the rest of the afternoon at a swim meet, and that's just not the... I should have really gone and probably stretched out my legs a little bit after, because even though we had a slow time, 2:23, I felt like we ran the race pretty hard because I was sore later in the day. Got up today, the day of the podcast production here is the day after the race. Did 5 miles this morning with my dog, so that made 31.1 for the week. And so I've now gotten over 30, which is a big hump, getting up to 30, then getting over. I can't believe I've already gotten up to 30 miles. I got a real good base going. So I am ready and ready to start getting some of these runs longer on Saturdays. Beyond, I think I might be going up to 16 this coming Saturday, and then getting that mileage up some peak weeks there, close to 50. Maybe I think 1 week I will be doing 50. So when I get up to Michigan in late April, I'll be able to represent Virginia just fine in front of my friends up there doing the 50K called the Trail Marathon 50K, real original name. So I got some email bag. I got some letters in the email bag, so I want to definitely do that. But I want to call your attention to this one link that I'm going to put at ashlanddave.podbean.com. Being that we live in a small town, people pass stuff around digitally a lot. You know, stuff gets passed around. And somebody did a really, really cool drone video over downtown Ashland. And especially the way the railroad tracks bisects the town. And if you've listened to the podcast for a long time, you've heard me talk about places like Iron Horse, the Caboose, maybe where the police department is, the railroad tracks, the turn-of-the-century homes that are along the railroad tracks. I can't remember what else I've mentioned, but I know I've mentioned other things about the center of the universe. And this video from a drone gives the viewer a really good perspective of what Ashland looks like from up above. And those are the very streets that I run on. So if you were curious, you know, being a regular listener to the show, if you're curious about what the environment looks like where I live or what I talk about when I'm running, nobody will know. You know, if you go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and click on the link, it just takes you to a YouTube video. I thought it was really cool, and I wanted to share that with the listeners in case anybody out there was interested in what the area looked like. And the reason I bring that up is because I know Sandy up in Michigan she's been down here, so she knows what Ashland looks like. So when I mention stuff in the podcast, she knows the area that I'm talking about when I run through town and see different things. And this town is very small. It's an incorporated town. It's only a couple square miles, and it's about 7,000 residents. And we got a lot of cast of characters here. I'm one of them, and we got this cross-dresser that rides a bike up and down the street all the time, and he's really bizarre. And then there's other characters people see around. There's people that hang around the coffee shops and people that hang around different bars all the time. And It's just it's a pretty cool place to live. It's because it's got lots of different types of people, which makes it really interesting. So I wanted to point that out to you. That'll be at ashlanddave.podbean.com. So let's get to the email bag section of the show and see who checked in this time. All right, I heard from Dirt Dog of the Dirt Dogs Rambling Diatribe. Dirt Dogs Running Diatribe podcast. And he lives up in the Metro Detroit area. And there's a chance that when I'm up there that Sandy's going to put together a meetup. So I emailed him about that. First of all, he had actually given me a shout out on his podcast, which you need to check out at Dirt Dogs Running Diatribe. Just Google that and you'll find it. It's a good show. He had mentioned something about how to cure a hangover, and there's nothing like a 10K to cure a hangover. And I've said before that, you want to get rid of your hangover, go out and run 6 miles and cover it one way or the other, but do most of it by running. And you won't be worried about your hangover anymore after that. So he mentioned that in one of his podcasts without me knowing. Well, when I was listening to it, I was tickled by hearing that, so I had to email him. But it looks like when I'm up there, he might be out at a tournament or something something with the kids. So that'd be disappointing to miss him. But maybe next time, Mike. Definitely good to talk to you. And as always, good luck with your podcast and enjoyed listening to it. Heard from Down Under Dave. He said he was the one that interviewed him in the last podcast. And he says, "Hi, Dave, just listened to the interview on your podcast. I've been putting it off as I was rather worried about how it sounded. I guess we all hate the sound of our own voice." He said, "I thought you led the interview very well. It was the right amount of humor. Hope your listeners enjoy it. Thank you once again. It was great to finally meet you and your family." So I'm not sure if I put this in the last podcast or not, but before the interview started, we actually talked with Down Under Dave over, I can't remember if we did it on FaceTime or Skype. Can't remember, but... we actually talked for a little while before we even did the podcast. So it was really cool to talk to him on the video screen. And, Down Under Dave, as always, man, good to hear from you. And I'm so glad that we finally got to do that interview. Heard from Thomas. He said he loved the podcast with Down Under Dave. The remote conditions brought back some memories. He said he was fortunate to travel and has done 2 extended trips to Australia with the University of Florida study abroad. He ran the Sydney Half Marathon both times. Wonderful tour of the area. He said one time he flew home, couldn't sleep, so he turned on the TV, and there was Tom Cruise in one of the Mission Impossible movies sitting in the park that he thinks with Nicole Kidman, where he had been only 24 hours before that. So he said, this is Thomas. He did events with the Sydney Striders. They have many group run days. He also attended one of their banquets, and he hooked up with the ultra community down there. He said, on one occasion, they took me into the outback. It was scary for him. No food, access or stores, all self-contained. And one stop was to get water out of a rain barrel at a Buddhist monastery. He says the outback in Australia has some of the most deadly spider snakes in the world. He saw a spider. Saw one spider in a web the size of his fist. He said one of the guys said the worst snakes are brown, look like little sticks. He said... And he was told, if one hits you in the leg, sit down and have a cigarette, mates, because that's all the time you have left. And so it's very good to hear from Thomas. And he gave the marathon link here. Let's see. He completed a rather famous marathon course on the training run. It's brutal. He said the Aussies are a step above, tough and no frills. You never forget those times. The marathon is called 6-Foot Track Marathon. And... he gave me the link for that, so I'll have to check that out, Thomas. I have not checked that out yet. Heard from Alex. He checked in. Appreciate that. And it looks like I solicited and was accepted for an invitation if I make it down to Arizona. Got a place to stay. Very cool, Alex. Appreciate that a whole lot. Good to hear from you. Sandy checked in with a discount code for the skirt sports, and this is for the ladies there, or for you guys that like to wear skirts. We got a guy here in town that wears them. But this is for running skirts. The discount code is, you got to email me for it. It's good on all sale and regular prices, except unless noted on the website. She gets a new code each quarter. So she wanted to pass that on. She's an ambassador for the skirt sports. And this was as of February 1st. So if you are a female and you like to the skirt sports clothing, she has a discount code, which I'm happy to pass on. I'm going to keep this email in my email box, in the email bag, and I'll share that if anybody is interested in that. So appreciate that very much, Sandy. And the best news from Sandy is that she is back. She's been released from her doctor, and she and I exchanged lots of emails back and forth about running, everything running. It's all we talk about. And but she's back. She's been cleared by her doctor, which is just outstanding news. And Sandy, I couldn't be happier for you. So the only advice I would give, which I know is unsolicited, would be just to take it easy. But I know that you're just chomping at the bit to get back out there, and I couldn't be happier for you. So that's great, great, great news. Dr. Smitty checked in, and again, he's another one that we email back and forth on pretty much all things running. He's going to be doing the it's not called the it used to be called something challenge down at Shamrock, the whatever the god of the water is or something like that. He's doing the half marathon. He has to run a 1:35 to finish in time to start the full marathon on time. So he's got to run a 1:35 half marathon in order to start the full marathon, in the starting corral. And otherwise, he said if he doesn't make that, he's going to do the full marathon anyway, just not have an official time. I thought that was really cool, and I wish you the best for that, Greg. And that is coming up. Oh, let's see. I know that's coming up really soon. Put that up for the listeners. Shamrock Marathon is for this year is March 18th and 19th. So the I think the 5K is actually the day before. So the let's see, the actual marathon itself has to be on, I think it's on that Sunday. No, the short stuff is the day before. So the half marathon starts at 7 a.m. and then the actual marathon starts at 8:30 a.m. This is Sunday, March 19th. So, yeah, you got about an hour and a half there, Greg. And so I wish you the best on that. I'm pretty sure you'll probably get it because I know once you set your mind to something, man, you're going to get it. And that'd be really cool. So let me know how your training is going. I know recently, I think you emailed me, said you did a 27 miler and then a 10 miler the following day, which is pretty brutal. I'm with you on that one, man. I got that there. Let's see, Neil. Yeah, I heard from Neil. Got to run into him up at the race, which was really cool. And of course, Sandy Bean, that she got cut loose, she checked in with another email. So that was really cool, and got some good emails this time for the show. And I love to hear from listeners at ashlanddave@gmail.com. I really do like to hear from the listeners, and I've improved. I actually respond a lot quicker than I have in the past. But what I want to do before I sign off here is just kind of remind the listeners out there that there are a number of DVDs that I have made for various ultra marathons that I've either participated in or crewed for, and marathons. Mount Massacre's 50 miler, North Face DC 50 miler, Atlanta 50 miler, Tom's Pine Creek Challenge 100 miler, which it was a DNF, but it's a great amateur documentary of a 100 mile effort with a team. And he gave permission for me to release that. Strolling Jim 40 miler. I just shared a copy of that with my friend Jim Lummix, also known as Lummix. He has announced that he is going to be doing the Strolling Jim 40 miler in May. He's invited me there to go with him. However, the week before, I'll be up in Michigan doing the trail marathon 50K. Of course, the Graveyard 100K, which I completed myself, the Florida Keys 50 miler. And then the I've got a documentary of the Shamrock Marathon I did several years ago with the group. The reason I mention this is because sometimes people are interested in watching kind of amateur DVDs, and they're not, you know, where the camera's all over the place and then the camera gets dropped in the back seat of the car and then, you know, you got 20 minutes of looking out the window. These are decent videos, and they're DVD quality. You can just pop them in your DVD or play them in your computer. And they're free. That's the best thing about it. They're all free. But what I do is if you ask for one at ashlanddave@gmail.com And you can get the list at ashlanddave.podbean.com. Go back to episode 235. Just scroll back and you'll see the list. I make them available for free. I burn them to a DVD and I mail it to you. This is all old school. You know, these are not on YouTube, so not anybody can get these. And all I ask is for you to consider making a donation to the Ashland Christian Emergency Services Group here in Ashland. Over the years, we've raised over $500, I think, so far, just on the donations from the DVDs. It's completely voluntary. I don't check up on that with them to see if anybody sent the money in. They just notify me when somebody has sent the money in, if the person who makes the donation references my email. So I don't even know if there's been donations that people have made without me even, I guess that kind of came out wrong. There are probably donations that I do not know about, which is fine. And, you know, there's something to be said for doing good works and not showing off when you do it. So I make those available for that reason. And that's a group here in Ashland that provides services to people that get stranded or kind of get in bad situations that just kind of need a little bit of a handout. Not a leg up, but it's just a temporary handout. But they get vetted. And the reason I know they get vetted is because I work in local law enforcement, and this is a group that we use, and they're not suckers. They're not bleeding hearts. They can see through the bullshit, and they look to help people that are in true in need. So I respect that kind of organization, and that's why I've decided to make these DVDs available for some of the races I've done or some of the races I've crewed, to kind of give an idea of what some of these events are like. So I make those available. Go to ashlanddave.podbean.com. If you're interested, scroll back to episode 235. I've got a list there. Email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you have any questions about any of that, and then we can go from there. So this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, doing lots of miles now. And I encourage you to run the finish. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids. Have a good week. Keep the faith.